Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Matt Piper in New York. Storms across the South are responsible for multiple deaths. Five are confirmed in Kentucky, where crews are trying to restore power to some 130,000 customers. WKYT-TV's Samantha Valentino's in Lexington speaking with the power authority.
KU has about 500 crews that have been working to restore power, but they're adding even more crews.
Crews from neighboring states that are here to help us. And so when they get all active, we'll have a couple thousand folks that are busy with the process.
Spokesperson for KU, Daniel Lowry.
Please be patient with us. You know, 3 or 4 days is way too long to be without power. We understand that. We're trying to get folks back.
The crews are meeting at the Kentucky Horse Park before rolling out to restore power.
And it's not just there. This weekend, hundreds of thousands of people were without power as a winter storm hit Metro Detroit. And that's on top of a whole lot of people who lost power 1 week ago after storms then. DTE Energy President Trevor Lauer.
We have one of the largest electric grids and also one of the oldest electric grids. And I use the analogy of roads all the time. You know, you need to rebuild it. We need to continue to invest in it.
Outside Chicago in Bolingbrook, Illinois, police say two adults and a child were fatally shot in a possible home invasion. Another woman injured in the shooting has been hospitalized. Police there say they do not have anyone in custody. There have been clashes for months between police and demonstrators at the site of a proposed public safety training center in Atlanta. WANF-TV's Asia Wilson says protesters are back.
We've heard popping noises in the area. It sounded like firecrackers at one point, and another point it sounded like gunshots. We're still working to find out what that was. Now, we saw what appeared to be smoke in the sky. It hovered over the wooded area. Eventually, we saw fire trucks coming down the road, followed by a number of Atlanta SWAT vehicles going in and out of the woods.
Now to South Carolina, where authorities have charged a woman for terminating her pregnancy through abortion pills she allegedly obtained illegally. It happened in 2021, but a warrant was obtained a year later after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Heather Bowers, a state representative, criticizing that charge.
Most people who have an abortion, they already have at least one child. So threatening to arrest them, jail time, having a criminal record, doesn't just hurt them, it hurts the entire family and community.
Overseas in Sydney, Australia, 50,000 people marched over Sydney's Harbour Bridge in what was called the Pride March to celebrate the LGBTQIA+ community and to demand more global equality. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
It's the Mad City Brido Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Imagine planning your wedding in just one day. Pre-register for tickets at madcitybridoexpo.com and receive a $200 gift card. Tickets are also available at the door for $10. Read all the details at madcitybridoexpo.com and like them on Facebook. It's the Mad City Brido Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Your ring is just the beginning.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Ha-ha! Leprechauns and Wisconsinites have a lot of things in common. We both look good in green. Chicks dig our accents.
You're cute.
And we all love what's on the other side of the rainbow. Get your pot of gold when you sponsor our hourly weather forecasts on your local Civic Media station.
That's 24 ads per day. One ad every hour right before the latest weather forecast.
And right now, the prices on these premium sponsorships are slashed up to 50%. But you must act before March 15th to take part. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to independent programming that has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. To learn more and to see our entire broadcast lineup, go to civicmedia.us.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And welcome back to the second hour of Up North News for this Monday, March 6th, 2023, coming up this hour. Everyday Wisconsinites getting the job done. They have to. Because far too many conservative politicians seem to be working hard to not work, to accomplish as little as possible. And that leaves plenty of regular folks out there who have to roll up their sleeves and get Wisconsin on a better path. And we will visit with Patrick DiPula about how the members of the Main Street Alliance are advocating for Wisconsin small business owners. And Dan Barth will explain the Citizens Climate Lobby and how anyone can help advocate for better treatment of our natural resources. We'll get an update on the forecast from Weatherology in just a few minutes here. Also coming up tomorrow, we will have we'll hear from Law Forward, a progressive legal group, about an ethics complaint it's filed against Michael Gableman, the right-wing former state Supreme Court justice, and his phony investigation into the 2020 election, which has now cost Wisconsin taxpayers around $2.5 million. Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Brighton Moser joins us tomorrow. Talk about farm and rural economic news. On Wednesday, we'll shine a spotlight on some of the national extremists who are coming in to support conservative Dan Kelly in his efforts to get back onto the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. That election is 4 weeks from tomorrow. If there's anything on your mind that you'd like to discuss with us, 715-388-7155 is our Up North studio line. Also, the main studio line works at 844-967-2789, and our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Over the weekend, a few clips that caught my attention I wanted to share with you, and I'm going to do that in just a second. But first, I wanted to point out that when it comes to election integrity and calling out actual misdeeds, or errors, or confusion, you're going to see that by responsible people on the left as well as the right. Sowing doubt about election integrity is something you only find on the far right side of the political spectrum. And it's wrong, and it is going to be pointed out whenever possible. But that also means that when mistakes are made by groups that, say, are advocating for progressive causes, that has to be called out and criticized as well. And that's exactly the case, as the Wisconsin Elections Commission said late last week, that there's been a misleading mailer from a Washington, D.C.-based group that had incorrect information on pre-filled absentee ballot applications. The group, the Centers for Voter Information, a group that has worked to register voters and elect Democrats across the country, has said that their commercial printer has admitted to mistakenly listing incorrect names on absentee voter application forms. And the best way to deal with this is not to worry about mail that comes to you from private groups urging you to vote. It's fine that they can. There's nothing illegal about that. Anybody can send you mail and urge you to vote and say, here's how you get an absentee ballot. But you can also just do it yourself by going to myvote.wi.gov. Check your registration status, get registered online, find out where to vote, find out what's on your ballot. It's all right there. And you can do that ahead of the April 4th general election. Now, I mentioned over the weekend some various clips, and one that a lot of folks are talking about is former Daily Show host Jon Stewart talking to a conservative state senator about the different ways that people on the right see the Second Amendment to the Constitution versus the First Amendment to the Constitution. And it's all about whether rights come with responsibilities. And do those responsibilities suppress somebody's rights under the Constitution or not? And if you're going to talk about that, you should talk about it consistently. So here's Jon Stewart talking to a conservative state senator about gun safety and what this state senator thinks is a higher priority, and that would be outlawing drag shows.
Rights have responsibilities, and that within those responsibilities and order, otherwise it's chaotic. I'll go you one further. You want to ban drag show readings to children.
To my house, yes.
Why?
Why?
What are you protecting?
Why can we prohibit children from voting, those under 18 from voting?
Why are you banning?
That.
Is that free speech? Are you infringing on that performer's free speech?
They can continue to exercise their free speech, just not in front of a child.
Why?
Because the government does have a responsibility to protect.
I'm sorry?
The government does have a responsibility in certain instances to protect
children. What's the leading cause of death amongst children in this country? And I'm going to give you a hint. It's not drag show readings to children.
Correct, yes.
So what is it?
I'm presuming you're going to say it's firearms.
No, I'm not going to say it like it's an opinion. That's what it is. It's firearms. More than cancer, more than car accidents. And what you're telling me is you don't mind infringing free speech to protect children from this amorphous thing that you think of. But when it comes to children that have died, you don't give a flying f*** to stop that because that shall not be infringed. That is hypocrisy at its highest order.
And the thing is, we shouldn't need Jon Stewart to do that. Yes, it makes for a great viral moment, a good gotcha moment, but it isn't really worthy of a gotcha moment. It's something that reporters every day should be doing. Whatever it is he represents in the state of Oklahoma, those reporters right there shouldn't hesitate to ask those same questions and to make that same point and ask, are you being hypocritical in allowing yourself to, block somebody's First Amendment rights while protecting mass shooters, saying they have rights under the Second Amendment. A little consistency on behalf of our kids would be great. We'll be back to learn more about small business needs right after this. You're up north.
When it's raining cats and dogs, your business can rain profits. Sponsoring the weather forecasts on your local Civic Media station will get your phone to ring.
Listeners pay attention to weather forecasts, and they'll pay attention to your message.
Act now, because we're slashing prices up to 50% on these premium sponsorships.
But the deals absolutely end March 15th.
Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather. Sponsoring our forecasts is the Cats Meow.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 44 today under cloudy skies. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows level off around 31. Bright sunshine expected tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 40. Highs level off around 38. Wednesday, under overcast skies. 36 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
WMDX.
We're going to be talking in a minute with Patrick DiPula from Salvatore's Tomato Pies in Madison on behalf of the Main Street Alliance and talk about what small businesses need from a Republican-led legislature and a Democratic governor and how they can work together to do what's right for Wisconsin small businesses. But first, we're going to check in with weatherology meteorologist. I think it's Laura Lockwood today, is it? Hi, Laura.
It is. You got it right. And Michael, we'll be with you the rest of the week.
Good. All right. Hope you had a good weekend. We're looking at a nice little dusting of snow up here on Lake Wissota. What can you tell us about the weather picture today?
Indeed. So we have this little system coming through early today. I'm going to be bringing some light snow to the area. A little bit of drizzle mixed in at times, especially impacting the central and northern portion of the state. But that will be slowly working its way out. But be aware, we do have a winter weather advisory associated with this snow coming through early today. Could be picking up 1 to even upwards towards 3 inches up towards the Ashland area, but that really tapers off as you head into the southern portion of the state with just a covering to a dusting or so of snow on the roadways. Enough to grease them up, so use caution out there as the system works its way out through the midday into the afternoon. We're looking much quieter, just a bit of cloud cover continuing throughout the area, and those temperatures are going to be in the mid-40s in the central portion of the state here. But they do get a little bit warmer here as we head through other portions of the area, so I want to be aware of that. We're looking at quite a bit of cloud cover Tuesday, very quiet, and that will continue into Wednesday as well. Quite a bit of cloud cover, occasional sunshine, temperatures in the upper 30s to low 40 range for the area. And as we head into Thursday, the next system rolls in. This one's going to be a bit more robust, impacting a good portion of the state, lots of clouds, snow moving in late on Tuesday, and then we'll see more snow Tuesday night into Friday, some quite heavy at times. So I want to be aware we could see some copious amounts of snow in some locations. We'll continue to monitor the exact track of this system as it works this way in. Still a ways out, so we're monitoring it, but it's looking to tap into a lot of moisture, so we could see some decent snowfall amounts as the system works its way through. Right now, it'll be primarily impacting the southern and central portion of the state, but we'll continue to keep a very watchful eye on that and see how it progresses over the next couple of days. But at least we'll have a couple of quiet days ahead of it here. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
All right, Laura, thanks so much. You mentioned Michael will be in the rest of the week here?
That is correct.
Michael Cairo. All right, very good. Well, thank you so much, Laura. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's visit now with Patrick DiPula from Salvatore's Tomato Pies in Madison as we talk about the Main Street Alliance, which is a group that is, in my opinion, so much more emblematic of and representative of small businesses in Wisconsin and their needs at that state capitol building not far from where Patrick is. Patrick, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
I understand you were one of the early members of Main Street Alliance in Wisconsin.
Yeah, early on, I was approached by Sean, the organizer for the Midwest, and actually at that time it was just Wisconsin. And yeah, one of the first handful of members in Wisconsin, and I think now we have over 1,200 members in the last 2 years, which is a huge expansion. Yes.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, it's something that I had said, you know, throughout my years as a legislature, even before that, in, you know, as a reporter, that I never thought at the time that, you know, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce was speaking for anybody other but the largest businesses, and some of what they were proposing seemed counterintuitive to small businesses who would actually like to see their workforce, you know, for example, covered consistently with health insurance and things like that. But the, our focus today is on the small business needs of the state and how they can be met, not just by the things in the past, like pandemic relief aid and things like that, but, you know, the state budget. We're sitting here with a $7 billion surplus that a Republican legislature and a Democratic governor could surely turn into a win-win. You know, if Republicans in the legislature would...
Oh, no.
Let them. So as Main Street Alliance members, you know, look at the Patrick, I think I might have had an internet glitch. Are you hearing me all right?
Yep, I'm hearing you okay now.
Okay, sorry about that. I think we had a little internet glitch up here on the lake. So I was asking, just in general, the main values and priorities of small business as you look at what the legislature can do in a state budget.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things the legislature can do in the state budget right now. And I think one of them would definitely be supporting Tony Evers and paid leave for all. You know, I look at these things as economic development tools, not entitlements. And in order to continue to drive the economic situation forward in Wisconsin, we really need to be looking at things like paid leave for all. We need to be looking at things like expanding Medicare. You know, we're leaving $1.5 billion on the table right now, and we're just not taking advantage of those funds. And getting people covered with health insurance. We're looking at childcare issues. Again, an economic development tool. We really need to get people back into the workforce. And we're experiencing situations right now where families cannot afford childcare, and they're making the choices to stay at home with their children, which is completely and utterly understandable. As a small business owner, I remember early on, the only reason we were able to make things work was because we drove my children 80 miles one way every day in order to drop them off at my parents' house, in order to be able to work and be an entrepreneur. Not everybody has that opportunity. And that's why things like, you know, paid leave for all and childcare and, you know, expanding Badger Care is essentially their economic development tools to keep people in the workforce and get people back in the workforce.
I'd made a point previously that it appears that Governor Evers, more so than the legislature, is really the party of small business in the state right now. And the governor noted in a recent release that, you know, more than 99% of Wisconsin businesses are small businesses. They employ nearly half of Wisconsin workers. And so you want to see them be able to hire locally, buy supplies locally, reinvest locally back into the community. And so that's where they've put so much of their investments, either for creating or maintaining small businesses. And when you look at some of what's been done, just say through the state small business credit initiative, according to one recent Evers release, you have investments in venture capital, better flexible financing, micro loans. Let's talk about that for a moment, just the access to capital.
Yeah. You know, we recently had some representatives from WEDC come and speak with us.
That small businesses need either existing.
Yep. I think we got a little glitch again. Hopefully you can hear me right now.
Yeah, go ahead, Patrick. My apologies.
Oh, no worries. So yeah, access to capital. Recently, we had someone from WEDC come and speak with Missy, the CEO of WEDC, came in and spoke with us at length about access to capital. And it was really kind of interesting at the state of small business in Wisconsin when the pandemic, she recounted a story that when the pandemic began, she asked for a list of small businesses in Wisconsin from staff. And at that point, early on in the Evers administration, that list didn't exist. So really, small business was not a focus of previous administrations, and those lists and information did not exist. So they were basically building that sort of infrastructure from the ground up. And there's been huge strides with WEDC, Wisconsin Economic Development Corp, with their work with small business and access to capital. You know, we're looking at things like the governor's bounce back grants. Those existed because of WEDC and because of those initial lists that were compiled by WEDC. And they've helped a lot of businesses, keep going during the pandemic, or at least fill those empty Main Street locations up and down our main streets around Wisconsin. So really, there's been a huge push on access to capital with small business. Lots more can be done. You know, our day of action, we met with Sarah Rodriguez. We met with the Attorney General's office. We met with all of our legislators, and or at least as many as that we could. And really, the resounding message is that there's many people on board with understanding that small business is the driver here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, without a doubt. And here's something that, this is more anecdotal, grant you, but you meet with legislators, your members meet with legislators, and I know that as a, you know, one-time rank and file legislator, there's a lot of sympathy, but not necessarily a lot of action from leadership. And again, this is my assumption, is that you probably talk to a few rank and file Republican legislators that understand what small business needs, but knows that those things aren't necessarily going to be supported by leadership, because suddenly we're the thing that's all in vogue now is to accuse somebody of being involved in socialism when all you're doing is leveling the playing field on things like healthcare or family leave or you know, things like that. You're not getting in the way of the market for selling your widgets or your tomato pies, but making sure that everybody has a level playing field in terms of the opportunity to start a business. Do you feel like some legislators understand that, or is there a clear partisan divide when you speak to individual members of the Assembly and Senate?
You know, I think rank and file, there's an understanding. I think where this breaks down is leadership and ideology sometimes, like you mentioned. And I think that it's literally comes down to sometimes not letting the other side get their particular way, when everyone knows that, again, these are all economic development tools that will do nothing but push the economy forward in Wisconsin. It's good for Main Street. It's good for small business. And, you know, I think a good example is, you know, when there's like a Foxconn that's coming to Wisconsin, right? There's a delegation that shows up that day from the state of Wisconsin to talk about what they need. When it comes to small business in the past, it's basically been, here, guys, here's some information. You know, we need more of those people like on the ground explaining to small business where we can access capital, where we can do these things. And again, it comes from leadership. You know, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce doesn't represent small business. It represents big business. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, Main Street Alliance exists, to be a counter to that.
And I will say again that one of the things that strikes me as so productive about what small business owners are doing now in talking to each other more, getting organized more, is making sure that those state resources actually do come to Wisconsin small businesses. And you really see that through the Main Street Bounce Back Grants. You're going to have pretty soon here 10,000 small businesses getting $10,000 a piece. That's a very big dollar amount, but it's still a fraction of what Foxconn was originally slated to get. And we had said in the beginning, what if instead of all that money, $3 billion plus, going to a single business in one part of the state, what if you divided that up and used it to help small businesses in all 72 counties? And that's what we're getting now for a fraction of the cost. I think you're really proving the economies of scale when you help small businesses in every county instead of, you know, just a handful of big businesses.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, what a picture that would paint, right? I mean, it's a staggering amount of money that definitely the more, the closer to Main Street that money exists, the better and greater impact there is on the people of Wisconsin. I think, you know, Foxconn was a really good example of misplaced priorities. And we all know how Foxconn has worked out for Wisconsin. But what could have that money done in the hands of small business owners and expansion and, you know, being able to provide their employees the same type of benefits that larger companies can provide. You know, it's hard for us. You know, we have about 140 employees and we pay health insurance and we pay paid leave when we can, and we do these things, but we can't always. And, you know, as the economy continues to struggle, it becomes harder and harder to do that.
Patrick,
we're not on that level field.
Patrick DiPiola of Salvatore's Tomato Pies, thank you very much. We really appreciate the update and look forward to another visit soon.
Thanks very much for having me.
Hopefully glitch-free. Again, my apologies for that, Patrick. Have a great day.
You too.
And we'll be back more to learn more about the Citizens Climate Lobby next. You're up north.
Mm-hmm. You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Out-of-state utility crews are helping restore power in Kentucky after storms over the weekend. Daniel Lowry is a utility spokesman.
They're dealing with broken poles, down wires. We have a couple thousand, at least, down wires that we've been dealing with.
Thousands of people are in the dark again in Michigan after the latest round of severe weather there. An ice storm plunged many of the same people into darkness last month. DTE Energy President Daniel Lauer says the grid is aging.
I understand the level of frustration. I think what we need to do is work proactively with policymakers and our regulators on continuing to invest in the system.
Police are investigating a deadly home invasion outside Chicago. WBBM-TV's Andrew Ramos is in Bolingbrook.
They responded to the home where they found three adults and one child shot. We can confirm at this time that three of those victims described as a man, a woman, and a child.
CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
Hear that? If you own a business, that's a problem. What you really need is this. If you want to make your phone ring this spring, we have just the thing.
Sponsor weather forecasts on your local Civic Media station.
We've slashed prices on our premium weather sponsorships up to 50%. Tie your business message and phone number into our hourly weather forecasts and get results.
But you must hurry.
This spectacular offer ends March 15th.
Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
Pro tip, if you look up a chili recipe and it doesn't have pasta in it, don't think you can just use all of the same ratios, and adding a box of pasta will not just make it into pasta with chili as the sauce.
You added an entire box of pasta?
I did.
Yeah, that's a little much.
That's too much. Mm-hmm. I had no supervision.
Or like a chili hot dish.
Yeah, exactly.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cancer water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Earl Ingram.
They can't tell you one thing that Ron Johnson has done to support them. I don't understand that. I never will understand it. I know we've got conservative listeners, but I asked them to point to one thing that Ron Johnson has done to make their lives any better, and they can't point to any of it.
Conversations that hit home every day. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
You know, I grew up hearing that women are bad with money. But like many of you, I spent years paying bills, managing checking accounts, and taking care of my family. So, turns out, women are pretty good with money after all. And now, I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. It's never too late to start, and there's a great website to help you. Check out WeSaySaveIt.org and jumpstart your retirement savings on your budget and your timeline. That's WeSaySaveIt.org.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
I see trees of green.
We had mentioned, I think a week ago, we were talking to the group Wisconsin Conservation Voters, and our wrap-up story about that over at upnorthnewswi.com says, Conservation Voters Group says they're mobilizing for the spring elections like never before because they understood what's at stake in terms of Wisconsin natural resources by the state Supreme Court race, And also by electing good people, you know, at the local level, county boards, town boards, and such. They're not the only folks looking out for natural resources, of course, in the state and for our climate. We have a climate crisis that is very real, very troubling, and requires people to, you know, advocate for better practices. And so as part of our Movement Monday, our every other week Monday series, where we talk about groups that are trying to make a difference in Wisconsin and groups where you could get involved, we're going to visit today and hear about the Citizens Climate Lobby from Dan Barth, who joins us from Marathon County, not far from Mosinee. Dan, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey,
Pat, I'm you're breaking up on my computer, so I'm not sure if this is going to work or not, but we'll keep going.
Well, we'll keep doing as best we can. So I'll try to keep things short here. Dan, let's start with just explaining what the Citizens Climate Lobby is. Why was it founded, and what do you do?
Well, the Citizens Climate Lobby is actually now an international organization, started in this country quite a few years ago, and believes very much that we need a federal legislative approach to dealing with climate change. The idea is that, this is an all hands on deck kinds of thing. It's not a political issue. This is our one planet that we all share and need. If you doubt that, look up at the sky at night and you'll see the universe that we are a part of. And we're just one small, tiny part of it. Those of us who have a connection to some kind of spirituality, whatever that might be, know that this world that we live on, this universe that we're a part of, was created, and we owe it reverence and we owe it care. And so the climate lobby says that along with all of us doing our part to stabilize our unhinged climate, we need federal legislation to give us a boost and guide us. Kind of works in conjunction with what I think Joe Biden is trying to do with the and the Democrats are trying to do with the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, providing money for renewable energy technology, I guess I would say, and things like that.
Yeah, looking to be part of the solution and try to mitigate the current circumstances and stop being part of the problem. So the Inflation Reduction Act and its many components that will help move us toward a more renewable energy future, that had to feel like such a win for you and your group members when that came to pass and you saw what had in fact come to be.
Absolutely. My wife and I we've been fortunate enough to be able to drive two electric cars. We have solar panels on the roof of our house. We have an air source heat pump that we use to heat with. And boy, there's so much involved in that. One, we drive, we heat, we mow our lawn, we do all of that on sunshine. Energy generated from our solar panels. When people this summer, there's a financial benefit here too. This summer, when people were paying $5 a gallon for gasoline, we were driving for sunshine, and sunshine is free. The panels aren't all that expensive. There are ways of doing it, and the IRA provides a substantial help for people who want to put solar panels up. The IRA is providing, I think, $7,500 off the price of a new electric car, $3,000 off the price of a used electric car. There are some caveats to that, but that's essentially what the deal is. It will help people buy heat pumps. It will help people. We're very interested in a heat pump, hot water heater, and when the money comes down for that, we're going to do that. We haven't used anything from our LP tank out here, and people know how expensive LP has become. We haven't used anything other than for our hot water heater and our stove, both of which will replace through IRA funding when the money comes out.
Dan Barth is joining us from Citizens Climate Lobby. And while you started by saying there are, you know, planetary reasons for being active in a group like this and talking about the climate, you've also taken it right down to the home level and the things that people can do at home. In between are some other levels, federal government, state government, even at the, you know, say, the county level. And so you and your members are involved in other things that are of concern a little closer to home, everything from PFAS, industrial chemicals, to mining proposals right there in Marathon County. What kinds of things are you active in there?
Well, look, there is so much more to taking care of this planet than the climate. I mean, that's a huge issue. There's no question about it. I'm a fisherman. I think a lot of people listening to the program today are fisher people. The idea that we have mercury in our fish is bad enough, but now we find out that around the country, probably around the world, there's PFAS in the fish that we catch. Wausau is dealing with PFAS in the water from the wells that the folks in Wausau get their drinking and cooking and bathing water from. Fortunately, they put a bunch of filters in that hopefully will filter out to a place where the PFAS isn't a problem. But the APA says, you know, basically there shouldn't be any PFAS in the water that we're drinking and using. When you're talking a few parts per trillion, you're just as well to say there shouldn't be anything there. And it's all over the place. So that's a huge issue. Wisconsin and the UP are dealing with more and more attempts, plans to mine in sulfide ore bodies. As we all know and will remember back in the, I think it was back in the 70s or 80s, no, it might have been the 90s when we passed in this state the Prove It First Act, which said if you're going to mine in sulfide ore bodies, you have to prove that you can do it without polluting. That was overturned during the days of the Scott Walker administration. And boy, the mining companies have taken notice of that. And there are mines, proposals to do mining popping up all over the state. So that's another major issue. Recently, we've all found out that plastics are not being recycled, and plastics are making it into our environment in small particles. As we all know now, plastics don't deteriorate, they're not biodegradable. They just break down into tinier and tinier pieces. And you and I are breathing in, drinking in through the water and different liquids that we are drinking. We're eating it in our food. They say a credit card's worth of plastic a month is coming into our bodies. We've never had to deal with those kinds of things before. I can't imagine that the outcome is going to be good for us, you know, physically. Certainly isn't good for the environment. There are so many issues since the 1990s, just for a variety of reasons, habitat destruction, because there's just so many of us on the planet. Pat, when I was born in 1948, there were 2.5 billion people on the planet. Today, there are 8 billion. All of those people are using up the Earth's resources, and we're also polluting the planet. We got to wake up, whether we're Democrats, Republicans, whether we're Catholics or whether we're Jews, whether we're black or whether we're white, we got to take care of this planet. And so that's what we do. That's what we're working on. We do our small part.
And it's greatly appreciated. Unfortunately, among those billions are people who are still much more of a consumption mindset to, you know, just extract what we have in the here and now, and think that other future generations will just, you know, figure it out as it were. And when you mentioned the Prove It First mining rules that helped Wisconsin stay safe for all those years, and you mentioned Scott Walker's name, but really leading that parade of scrapping that kind of environmental safety standard, was then state senator, now congressman Tom Tiffany, the person who represents these areas. And in his mind, he represents an area where there could be jobs in mining. And certainly jobs are a consideration in any district, much less a rural one. But can you tell me from your group's perspective, your own impression on the short-sightedness of looking for jobs today and damn the consequences for what it does to your water and environment up there tomorrow?
Well, you're raising a good point. I don't think I know anybody. I'm certainly not opposed to mining. But if we're going to do mining, we have to do it with the health and well-being of the water that we drink and the land that we grow our food in. It doesn't do anybody any good to have a fat bank account and lots of stuff in the garage, toys and you know, all through the house if we can't sustain life on our planet. It really bothers me. It really bothers me that we all care about our children. We care about our grandchildren. I have three children, a couple of grandchildren, and we all want the best for them, but we tend to focus on money. We want them to have a good education. We want to leave them something when we leave this planet. But boy, we ought to be thinking, we ought to be seriously thinking about what kind of planet we want to leave them. They don't have any other place to go. So we feel as though whatever it is that we do, we have to start thinking about how sustainable what we're doing is, how it's going to impact the lives of the people generations down the road. If we don't start doing that, I don't know what kind of planet. I wouldn't want to live on a planet where there's hardly any animals, any of the things that we are used to. We all know the monarchs are in serious trouble. Every summer we worry, is this the summer that no monarchs are going to come back to the area that we live in?
So to
taking care of the planet.
And to care for that, now 53 years ago, Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson and others created Earth Day, and that will be coming up again this April. So last question here is, tell us a bit about what your group is planning ahead of Earth Day 2023.
Thank you for asking that, Pat. We are the Citizens Climate Lobby, and now in conjunction with an organization called NAOMI, we've celebrated Earth Day in Wausau for the past 7 years. We plant 10 or 11 trees this year. We're hoping to plant 11 trees. We make it a very culturally inclusive event. We have folks from the African American community, the indigenous community, Hmong community, Hispanic community. This year, we hope to have some of the folks who are refugees here in Wausau from the Middle East and from Africa helping to plant trees. It's really important to not only celebrate the planet that we live on, but kind of take care of it. Trees sequester carbon. They're amazing, amazing resources for all the birds that we eat. We even plant some fruit trees. We plant them in the city parks here in conjunction with the Parks Department. Our mayor, Katie Rosenberg, will dedicate the trees. And some of those trees will provide fruit for the people in the neighborhood. There'll be apple trees and plum trees that people will be able to eat. So
that's outstanding.
Earth Day is a huge event here in Wausau.
Great. And to learn more, citizensclimatelobby.org is the website where you can get and learn about the group and get information on the chapters closest to you. Dan Barr, thank you so much for the visit. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Pat. Have a wonderful day.
All right. Thank you. You too. And we'll be back with Terry Bell and three things you should know to start the week. Coming up next, you're up north.
Hey,
Wisconsin, the spring election is April 4th. Make sure you're prepared with an ID to vote. If you have a Wisconsin driver's license or state ID, military ID, U.S. passport, VA card, or Wisconsin tribal ID, you're all set. If not, you've got options. For free help getting an ID to vote, call or text Vote Riders at 866-ID-2-VOTE. That's 866-ID, the number 2, V-O-T-E. Call or text today, 866-ID-2-VOTE.
Aha! Leprechauns and Wisconsinites have a lot of things in common. We both look good in green. Chicks dig our accents.
You're cute!
And we all love what's on the other side of the rainbow. Get your pot of gold when you sponsor our hourly weather forecasts on your local civic media station.
That's 24 ads per day. One ad every hour right before the latest weather forecast.
And right now, the prices on these premium sponsorships are slashed up to 50%. But you must act before March 15th to take part. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected today with daytime highs approaching 44. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows level off around 31. Daytime highs approaching 40. Tomorrow, bright sunshine expected. Overcast Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 38. 36 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
A quick update on sports as we start to wrap things up here for a Monday morning. The Bucks beat the Washington Wizards last night, 117-111. Giannis scoring 23 points. But on Saturday, the Bucks' winning streak was snapped at 16 games as they lost to the Philadelphia 76ers. But again, starting a new streak last night in that win over the Wizards. Marquette men's basketball team beat St. John's on Saturday, 96-94, to end the regular season. As the number one seed in the Big East, the Golden Eagles will face St. John's or Butler in a quarterfinal Thursday in New York. And the Badger men's basketball team kept alive their chances for an at-large berth into the NCAA tournament with a 71-67 win over the Minnesota Gophers last night. Terry Bell joins us now with three things you should know to get the week started. And so we'll do one, two, and three, but I guess how would we call this, like sub A or zero sub A, is to say good morning, Terry.
Well, good morning. First of all, hey, before we get to that, did you see Giannis's move last night?
Yeah, I didn't even mention it because I understand from what I read that the league can actually take away shots, or, you know, and what we're talking about is Giannis technically got a triple-double last night. He got the 10th rebound with, like, you know, 1 second left. He bounced the ball off the backboard to himself.
It was garbage time. There was really nothing. The Bucks were way ahead. Time is running out. And, yeah, he kind of gave a half-hearted layup that he missed on purpose so he could catch the ball and get his triple-double.
I guess the league has taken those away before, so I guess it wouldn't really surprise me if they did. I mean, it's cute and everything, but, you know, triple doubles, they're nice, but, you know,
W's matter.
Yeah. All right, let's get into three things you should know to start the week. What's number one for us?
Well, the several developments in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race that have happened in recent days. One is, as you would expect, as the race gets into the last month or so, you're getting some outside, there's been outside money already, but now some outside endorsers, influencers are now getting into the race. Maybe one of the most notable is a gentleman named Scott Pressler, who's been controversial for a lot of reasons. He's been a right-wing social media influencer. He promoted the January 6th insurrection. He traffics in QAnon conspiracy theories. And he's worked with an outfit that calls itself the largest anti-Muslim group in America, or maybe that's not what it calls itself. I think that's what
it doesn't, but I'm sure somebody...
watchdogs yeah. call it that. So you know, this is a guy with a history that we're well aware of, and we're keeping an eye on that. So what he's going to bring to the campaign, goodness knows.
Yeah, all on behalf of conservative former Justice Dan Kelly. And so on Wednesday, we're going to talk to members of a group that follow right-wing extremists, and they are raising concerns about this Scott Pressler guy and his plans for, you know, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court election, the kinds of things that are going to say. The rhetoric is going to be ratcheted up. And when you have somebody, you know, trafficking in QAnon conspiracy theories, that's something that I think it's only right to sound the alarm about that ahead of time. But I mean, this state Supreme Court, look, it's politically divided already, even long before this election. And there was more proof of that late last week, Terry.
Right. And it just goes to show what's at stake in the Supreme Court race. So the conservative majority last week decided late last week to reappoint a Trump election lawyer to a state panel. This panel oversees, actually just gives advice to Wisconsin judges about the code of judicial conduct. So this is someone who worked to overthrow the election results of 2020. He maintains an important role in Wisconsin's judicial system, and that's thanks to the Supreme Court.
It's amazing that these conservative justices, already knowing that they're under a microscope, would take this Trump lawyer, James Troupas, and put him back on this panel about, you know, giving advice based on the code of judicial conduct when he advised Trump on the fake elector scheme. He was Trump's lead lawyer to throw out your votes in Wisconsin during the 2020 election. So if the conservative justices that are on the court right now are already helping voters make the case as to whether they should continue to have control of the state Supreme Court, or if progressives should with the election of Janet Protasiewicz come April 4th. Second thing we should know deals with the so-called investigation by Michael Gableman.
Right. So it keeps getting more and more expensive. It passed the $2 million mark last week. And even though the whole matter has largely been resolved, there are a number of complaints and challenges that continue to get filed. And the latest one filed by Law Forward pushed that total up to $2 million because every time someone involved in this case, typically Michael Gableman or Robin Voss, is ordered to pay some money, fines and whatnot, that comes out of the taxpayer's pocket.
I don't know why it's money. It's not going to go to roads. It's not going to go to schools. It's not going to go to anything good. It's going to go to pay fines that Robin Voss and Michael Gableman keep racking up for this so-called investigation.
Right. And if Robin Voss were here, I'm guessing he would say that it's not he who keeps dragging this out, that it's the groups that are challenging the whole thing that are responsible for the mounting toll for the taxpayers. And
you can't blame the investigators who are or the people who are calling you out for your poor conduct and say, well, if they wouldn't investigate me, it wouldn't cost so much money. It's just, it's unbelievable. And it's also why Gableman's investigation is again the target of a new ethics complaint. It's been filed by Law Forward. We are going to talk to a couple of those members on Wednesday. And then our third thing to know this week has to deal with something far from here. But note that we, you know, the U.S. is, I guess, are they reportedly training Ukrainian fighter pilots right here in the States?
Right. So Ukraine's president has long been asking for American F-16s to help fight off the Russian invasion. That's been controversial. It's become a political football in Congress, and even leading defense experts say it's maybe not necessarily a great idea for us to be supplying F-16s to Ukraine, that it's a very long, cumbersome training process, and also Russia, I guess, is very well equipped to shoot down F-16s. But nevertheless, the U.S. has started working with Ukraine's military to train Ukrainians themselves to fly F-16s rather than American intervention, which a lot of people have been calling for, and that's much debated as well. So it President Biden gave a flat-out no to the notion of sending F-16s to Ukraine. This might show that it's actually something being strongly considered.
You know, in the lack of the F-16s themselves, at least getting the training in there. By the way, completely unrelated, but it was an F-16 that was used to shoot down an unidentified object over Lake Huron recently, and that had taken off from Truax Field in Madison, so we are no strangers to F-16s here. Terry Bell from the Civic Media Newsroom, thanks so much for those three things to
thank
start
you,
the
Pat.
Week. Appreciate it very much, and we want to thank all of you for being a part of the day here as well on this Monday, March 6th. Don't forget, you can follow me all day long on Facebook at Pat Kreitlow Up North or Pat Kreitlow on Twitter. Earl Ingram is next in Waukesha, Oshkosh, and Green Bay. Stephanie Miller in Madison, Todd Alba in Richland Center, Wausau, and Amory along the Civic Media Network. Have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow.
When it's raining cats and dogs,
your business can rain profits.
Sponsoring the weather forecasts on your local Civic Media station will get your phone to ring.
Listeners pay attention to weather forecasts, and they'll pay attention to your message.
Act now, because we're slashing prices up to 50% on these premium sponsorships.
But the deals absolutely end March 15th.
Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather. Sponsoring our forecasts is the Cats Meow.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.